Greetings, I present to you the SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, online at CFRU.ca in Mixcloud, and syndicating across the lands. I am your guardian overseer, Nicholas Cooper. We will be looking inward and beyond along the branches of progressive, fusion, and alternative styles, a sensual, energized anomaly, and other unique discoveries near and far. Join me as we gaze into the audible lens, out at the diverse musical landscape on the ever-changing horizon. Welcome, my good sentries, to an audience in the Observational Tower, the interview performance series I conduct here through the SMK. We are live at the station. Hello. Live at the station at CFRU 93.3 FM within our green screen dream machine, streaming live on CFRU's YouTube channel with amazing visuals and gorgeous souls. To celebrate the marvelous splendor, empowering month of pride, I have with me for today's audience the queer Toronto-based live synth hardware electronica duo Moonbeam. Yay! Hello.
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 Yes, we can hear you.
Nice.
How are you guys doing today?
Wonderful. Thank you. That was a great intro. I loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you. I don't know if anyone can hear or see that I'm a little bit under the weather, but I am very energized right now, so I'm getting over it.
That's good. You look energized.
Thank you. Why don't you introduce yourselves and your preferred pronouns?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Valentina Morelli, and I use the pronouns she, they, and I am based out of Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Colin Harrington, he, him.
Awesome. I am very happy you guys were able to coordinate this, especially for Pride Month.
Yeah.
To celebrate ourselves and to celebrate it all.
Yes.
Why don't I let you guys start off with your first musical set with us today?
Awesome.
Sure thing.
So here is Moonbeam here on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope for our audience in the Observational Tower. We'll be right back.
within my body. I am home within my mind. It is home behind these eyes, windows to the divine. I am home within my body. I am home within my mind. It is home behind these eyes, windows to the divine. I am home within my body. I am home within my mind. It is home behind these eyes, windows to the divine.
That was so awesome.
Thank
oh,
you.
My God. Oh my goodness. That was, yeah, awesome. I liked all the sounds and the synthesizers and stuff, especially when you got the melody going on the synth. Simply awesome. And I was grooving all along.
Sweet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So to begin our interview segment now, our first half, I mean, I should say, I have a segment called Light and Deep. So I'll ask a deep question and then a lighter question. Hopefully it's a lighter question. Some questions seem to be more complicated than the deep one, apparently, from the last couple interviews I've done. So we'll see.
Right.
So my deep question, through this difficult but beautiful life, what have been ways that you've come to love yourself? Or to give yourself words of encouragement when you doubt yourself?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's actually why I chose to start off our musical segment with our song called I Am Home, because I wrote those lyrics. Initially, they weren't even lyrics. It was a mantra that I came up with and I kept repeating in my head when I was going through a particularly turbulent time in my life. A lot of things were up in the air. There was big transition. There's a lot of uncertainties. And, I kept reminding myself that no matter where I am, even if I don't currently have a spot that I call home, you know, I don't have a place to my own, I am still home within my body and within myself. And that's where the mantra, I am home within my body, I am home within my mind, it is home behind these eyes, windows to the divine, kind of came to me as I was biking to work. And it just kind of hit me, and I kept repeating those words. And so that's kind of why we put it into a song, because it was a message that really resonated with me. And I hope people can kind of take that mantra into their own lives and as words of encouragement and a reminder that you are home right here in your heart, and to share that message.
Yeah, that's very beautiful. Thanks. And I know, like, a lot of people, like, go through lots of self journeys to figure out themselves. And I know that journey myself, being a gay person, and it took me years to be comfortable with that. So I can totally relate to that. And I still have to remind myself, even like I am more confident in myself, but there's always, you know, those times of insecurity.
Totally. And I think that's the point of the mantra, is not that I'm necessarily there right now, but just to speak those words and kind of bring those reminders to help you kind of feel that in times when you're not feeling that, which it's normal to not feel that all the time. And there's so many factors that revolve around feeling comfortable and feeling at home with your body, such as community, being in a safe space to explore yourself, your sexuality, your identity, your relationships. We kind of, in our live performance, we always preface that song with saying, it's important for every one of us to hold space and create safe spaces and find those spaces to then find your community and find what home feels like and what it looks like and sounds like.
Yes, I agree totally. Thank you. Now for my light question. Which natural element, be it earth, wind, fire, water, do you relate to the most, or any combinations of them?
We discussed this the other day, and it's a tough one. I Valentina said that I would more be earth, but I'm thinking in this moment, maybe fire. I don't know if I relate to it personally, but it interests me more. Because it's
a little spicy.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Fire and humans and technology and destruction and creation. And it's, you know, it definitely piques my interest. Doesn't mean I'm that, but
you're drawn to it.
Yeah, fire is interesting.
Mm.
Nice. Yeah. Sweet. Should I answer it or?
Yeah, of course.
I've definitely always felt closely related to water. I think many reasons. I'm definitely like a water person. I love being in the water, but also I've always been like a very fluid person with my self-expression, with my gender, and just with life and how I move through it. And so I definitely feel very closely related or a close connection to water. I'm also terrified of water just because I know the power of it. So it's like, I love swimming, and as much as I love being in that water and like just living in it, I know that as much as it gives life, it has the power to end life as well.
Okay, nice. Very nice. Yeah, I can feel that. All right, awesome. Thank you guys for answering my light and deep questions.
Those were fun.
So, well, which one felt like the deep question? Which one was the light one to you guys?
I feel like they both can go
either way.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Which is this kind of a good question.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Yeah, for future thoughts on my future interviews. Mm-hmm. So now let us get into the actual Moonbean project. Even before that, I guess for maybe both of you, how did your music journey begin?
I'll start with that. I believe that I was like born into music. I've always been surrounded by music. My My mother was always singing all the time and dancing. And so music and dance have been a big part of my life and kind of something I've always been drawn to and always been doing all the time. I went to an art school where I furthered my music education, and then I went even further and did like a music business program and took the jazz program at Humber College. And music's always been the thing for me. I don't really feel like I have a choice. It's just what I do. Colin?
For me, I grew up in a house that listened to a lot of music, and musicians were kind of regarded as like the new popes and political religious icons, where John Lennon saying he's bigger than Christ, like in my house, that was actually like a true statement. And for me, music at a young age has been the a method of communication and change, and for us as a culture to move past all the historical things that have kept us down and kept us in the dark, I think. And so I think for me that came first, like the appreciation of music for sure, but also seeing it as the a vehicle for change and movement, and then coming to that, I feel like I could have been another type of artist, but music's fun.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I can relate to the being able to communicate through music, because I felt like when I was younger, I felt like a very shyer person. And so right now, like even now, music is a way that I can communicate some feelings that sometimes I can't express through words. So
totally.
For sure. Yeah. It's we all speak it somehow.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. I think the power of music is pretty insane. And, I think it's a very universal language, and I've worked with people with special needs and people in the deaf community, and music very much has a place in a lot of their lives still, because you can feel it through vibration, you can see the movement, there's entrainment, and so it really does feel like a universal language.
Yes, I can agree with that as well. Awesome. I guess for Valentina specifically, you've always been a singer, right? Correct?
Yeah.
And you've done personal and professional training for that?
Yeah. A lot of just singing with my friends and writing songs, and then going to college and university, had some singing lessons that were kind of peppered into all the other kind of theory and improv and arrangement and production and stuff. So, I don't feel personally like a professional trained vocalist, but, it's been a part of my musical journey.
Nice. Yeah. Like I'm mainly a instrumentalist, bass clarinet being my main instrument.
Nice.
And I do want to try and get into vocal, like adding vocals and singing a bit. I think I need training definitely for that.
Right. But playing the bass clarinet, you'll have the breathing down. No problem.
All right. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good for that then. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I guess for both of you, what musical spheres, AKA the genres and styles, did you grow up on, and which artists do you look up to?
I think growing up, it was a classic rock house. The Beatles would definitely be the biggest thing, and then the usual suspects. But I think kind of later on, my dad was pretty current with his taste in music. So I was exposed to a lot of really good 80s electronic music, and then later punk and grunge stuff. Definitely, yeah, it's interesting. I feel like influences are important, but I also feel like new influences are where it's at. You know, the internet's really opened up the world and history to everybody, and there's a lot of stuff that's gone on in the world that I think growing up in the suburbs of Guelph, you're not really exposed to, you know, and especially at the era that I grew up, kind of like Napster being a new thing and, you know, finally finding music that somebody didn't have to tell you about, you know? So I feel like we wouldn't be doing this music if it wasn't for that exposure to, you know, a different history, a less white suburban history of music.
So, okay. Yeah. No, I understand that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, totally. Similar kind of upbringing, definitely like Beatles being a very big, band in my house. And, you know, also I have an older brother, and so a lot of my influence was like kind of listening to what my older brother listened to, because, you know, obviously he was older and cooler. And so it's funny, like thinking about, especially as a vocalist, like listening to the Beatles and Nirvana are two bands that like come to mind, where singing along to them and like kind of learning how to harmonize through these bands. But I would say, like, kind of as I became more of my own person, and even especially like throughout high school and stuff, like I really started to explore music in a different way and kind of went beyond what was just on the CD rack at my house, and really got into like soul and folk, Stevie Wonder, a lot of like funky dance music that like really like just begs your body to like get up and move. And then, you know, even more exploration as time went on. And now, like, over the past few years, getting into electronic music, it's just like there's a huge world of electronic music out there that I feel like I'm like just a little baby, like learning about. So it's really exciting, and also kind of seeing the crossover of like electronic artists or electronic music fused with acoustic music, or, you know, instrumental music.
So. Yeah, those are very interesting when you had the electronic and acoustic together.
Totally, yeah.
Still very experimental, like, because I do my bass clarinet with effect pedals.
Nice.
So I'm very, like, interested in seeing all your hardware there and maybe imagining how my, like, wind instruments would sound through all that.
Absolutely.
It's very fascinating.
Yeah. It's endlessly fascinating and very addictive.
Yeah, for sure, and probably a little expensive.
yeah, definitely.
Okay, why don't we now get into the actual project of Moonbean? Where did this name come from?
So when I was born, I have a very creative grandmother who is an artist type lady, whimsical human being. And she... I was the second grandchild, so she did it for my brother, she did it for me. She got into the habit of like giving her own name to the grandchild aside from what the parents had assigned. So when I was born, she was instantly like came and saw me and was like, oh, my Katie Moonbeam. And so that's kind of been my like unofficial middle name my whole life. And then in the pandemic, creating this band and thinking of a name, I was like, well, I've already been given a name, I guess. So I actually transitioned it from Katie Moonbeam to Moonbean with an N at the end. So that's the origin story of where the name came from. And also, we decided to kind of make a character out of Moonbean. And so Moonbean is like this character who lives on one of the moons of Jupiter, Europa, which is a water-based planet.
Oh, nice.
And, nice. And kind of the idea of coming up with this character is that it really felt like dropping all the walls and barriers to like explore music and lyrics and concepts on this like kind of more universal cosmic level. And it's a lot easier to like come up with stories and ideas that inherently do relate back, but when you're kind of putting it into this entity, into this character, this person or alien or what have you, you kind of just can let your mind go wild. So Moonbean, a little cosmic bean.
Oh, nice. Like, yeah, I think like I'm also drawn with the sci-fi aspects of it. And I really like the how you can have all the themes that are here on Earth, but then also have the cosmic elements, which is wonderful.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, very fun. So, yeah, you already mentioned it's you started this project during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think for a lot of artists in this country, it felt like one of the first times you actually had a life as an artist.
Oh, yeah. Like, all right? The time to yeah, compose
the time
and stuff.
And the space and the energy and just kind of escaping that normal cycle of, I don't know. Like a lot of artists, they struggle to make ends meet and make art, and it unfortunately took a pandemic for a lot of people to have that, you know, that first experience with that amount of time. And it was really I think for a lot of people a very special time, which it sounds awful because it's clearly also a bad time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for us, just having that time to actually like work on things and learn anew. Like this is a mostly a new art form for us personally. Like as far as like musical genre and gear and stuff. And it came from that, and then also like the time to explore, like I was saying, the history of music differently and. You know, kind of escape from that narrow worldview that I think I had and mm-hmm. a lot of people are kind of coming out of. So mm-hmm.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
I can see an important question I should ask. How did you two meet each other?
Hillside.
Yeah. Hillside. Oh, Festival. Yeah. Hillside.
Yeah. Volley Village. Hillside.
Yeah.
Which we're playing this year.
So oh, yeah.
It's full circle.
Full circle. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, promote that later in the show. Nice. I'm excited. I've been to Hillside a few times now.
Nice.
And it's always a different place, like a different its own universe, and it's just wonderful.
Totally. Yeah, it's a very very special very special place for both of us, like
mm-hmm.
Just in our personal like formation as weird people. I'd be a way more normal person if it wasn't for this. And that's terrifying.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. Maybe one last question before I let you do one more as you're the next music set. As you said, like the pandemic let you explore all these like hardware setups. Why did hardware, like, why are you doing hardware instead of like the software, like so many other like electronic artists are doing nowadays?
I've been making music on computers for a really long time, and I learned a lot from it, and like definitely came into the hardware world with a foundation of understanding how everything, because a lot of the software is emulations of hardware stuff, right? So you learn, you know, learning the software, there's free versions of things, there's paid versions of things, but a lot of it is simulating machines that were, you know, designed and built at different eras of time. And I just like, you know, working on computers a lot, I just kind of got sick of making art on a computer. Just became less and less of an appealing thing to me, and I kind of just stopped doing it because I don't want to sit at a desk and sit at a computer and make art.
Looking at a screen.
Yeah, yeah. And like it's still part of the process. Like it requires